You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. More than 260,000 adults here in Idaho experience some sort of mental illness every year. Less than half of those people, though, receive any type of mental health treatment or counseling to help address the issue. This is all according to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. And then the number of drug overdose deaths here in Idaho, they have tripled since 1999, with the majority of these deaths resulting from prescription drug use. Joining us live in studio to talk more about these issues and how we can help those suffering get help and hopefully recover is Dr. Ron Larson with Optum Idaho. Welcome to the program.
Oh, glad to be here.
Well, this is such a huge issue that the month of September has actually been dedicated as National Recovery Month. And more research is showing that mental health and substance abuse issues are often linked to other issues as well, one being suicide, correct?
Yes, that's a connection that we've made for a long time. We don't say cause and effect in
right.
mental health and substance abuse, but connected. And so Recovery Month is all about what can we do to start to help these large numbers of people, everyday people like me and you. What can we do? And it really has to do, as we've talked before, about starting a conversation. Mm-hmm. That is, it's really important to recognize it's a big issue, that we can't just sweep it under the rug, that it's important to talk about it and make it part of our conversations with people you care about.
Speaking of talking about it, there seems to still be stigma around mental health in particular, and even substance abuse that, snap out of it, figure this out. You've done this to yourself. I mean, we've seen it time and time again within our society.
That's right. Stigma really is the concept that there's something negative going on. And as it turns out, the research is really clear that mental health and substance use issues and disorders are as medical as diabetes or heart disease or liver problems. And so we should view them the same way. Stigma gets in the way of that view.
So at least within the medical profession, that idea seems to be changing.
It has been changing. Now, some of us are older, so we don't change very quickly. But it is something that has changed in the medical profession, I believe. Certainly working at the VA, mm-hmm. we really embraced that concept. So it means you go about getting help for recovery the same way you would for diabetes, for instance. The idea of recovery is really that you can live a healthy and self-directed life. Well, with diabetes, that means, gosh, I might have to watch what I eat. Mm-hmm. I might have to exercise. And if I have type 2 diabetes, it can go away. And
right.
so the same thing's true about mental health and substance use issues.
So then a lot of times we hear about people who have to go back into recovery time and time again. And then once again, that plays into the stigma of, you just can't get your act together. But how common is it, and why do people sometimes need to go to recovery more often than just one time?
Right. Actually, using the medical model, diabetes isn't such a bad concept. We have type 1 diabetes that you get when you're a teenager, mm-hmm. and the chances are, or even earlier, the chances are you're going to deal with that your whole life. But with appropriate treatment and support, you have a self-directed life. You can play football. Mm-hmm. You can be healthy. And then we have type 2 diabetes, where we actually can make it go away by losing 20 pounds. And so mental health is that way, too. There are some illnesses that, just like type 1 diabetes, you're going to need to deal with long-term.
And have medication, potentially, because you have to with type
perhaps,
1.
Or be seeing a therapist mm-hmm. for a long time. On the other hand, type 2 diabetes, everybody smiles and we say, I'll see you later, doc. And the same thing can happen in mental health.
We're talking with Dr. Ron Larson with Optum Idaho about September being National Recovery Month. We know there is an opioid crisis in our country. We are seeing it here in Idaho as well. Is this part of the national conversation to bring attention to these issues to the point of we have to have a national campaign?
Yes, you know, it really is important, as we mentioned about the conversation. But, you know, conversations are one-to-one. And so it's a responsibility for each of us as family members or citizens. If you see somebody that's struggling for more than 2 weeks, if you have, you know, somebody that has a problem, very carefully listen, very carefully bring up some simple questions, and with the same kind of care that you care about someone, ask if the person has considered getting some help.
What are those simple questions?
I think one of them I just mentioned, which is I've observed whatever I've seen.
Yeah,
you're not sleeping and you're grumpy the last 2 weeks. And ask, have you noticed the same? And then listening. It's really important to leave space for listening. Sometimes we even do what we call vowel therapy. Your job is to make vocal pauses and go, ah, or oh, rather than asking.
I do that all the time when my kids are talking about video games. I got that. Got that down to a science.
You would be good at this.
Right, exactly.
And then have in mind that one conversation may not be enough, but to nudge the person towards getting some help. Hope and the idea that there's always there support for the person. Those are the two things you want to impart, hope and support.
What about the idea of suicide? And I bring this up because we have very high numbers in Idaho. And I think every parent has a fear that your child will go down that path or have at least suicidal thoughts. Do we have the same types of conversations with our kiddos when we maybe see something off or they, you know, might come home a little sad or anxious or something like that?
Right. You start with what you see and don't make assumptions.
Right.
Age-appropriate kinds of questions. As a parent, what you'd ask someone at 14, certainly different than when they're 8.
Right.
But offer up what you're seeing. If you get really concerned, you can ask the person, gosh, it even seems like you're feeling kind of hopeless about this. And then again, the vocal pause, let the person, the child, your friend, give you the answers in their words. Don't make assumptions and wait for them to say, yeah, I really have, I've been struggling. And then you can ask for them to tell you more.
What about someone who has gone through recovery, but maybe they've had some type of relapse and they think, you know what, there isn't any hope. I'm just not going to get better.
Right. And so my answer to that from a medical standpoint is that we're never out of ideas. We actually always have another thing that we can do, another support. And the other issue to keep in mind about this is that those thoughts usually are more temporary. Mm. That is, you keep the person safe. And if the person's safe for a number of days or weeks, the suicide thoughts can go away on their own. So part of the project then is making sure the person is in a safe environment where they can be themselves. We sometimes need to take time out from our lives. And so even that is a solution for some people. And we get caught up sometimes in thinking, I have to do it now. So seeking help, a counselor, knowing you have options.
I want to thank you for coming in today and talking about this because, as you said, we need to talk about it. If we don't talk about it, then we're not going to make any headway. So thank you very much.
As always, it's good to be here. Thanks.
We've been talking with Dr. Ron Larson with Optum Idaho. Up next, a conversation with the head of the Idaho Humanities Council. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.